This week's speaker is Sister Guadalupe Doispoler. Sister Guadalupe was born and raised in David City, Nebraska. After graduating from Aquinas High School, she went to Doan University to study math education. She also ran cross country and track until she graduated. After her time in college, she served as a campus missionary with the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. For 3 years before entering the Marian Sisters of the Diocese of Lincoln in the fall of 2020. She's been at Pius for 3 years and loves teaching scripture to the freshmen and helping with campus ministry whenever she can. Her sisters wanted me to share some fun facts about her. She's a good impersonator. Two, she is a walking jukebox, and she likes running but hates walking fast. Sister Guadalupe enjoys sports, music, and being around people, especially the young kids that help her stay hip and cool. Help us welcome Sister Guadalupe.
Thanks, Leah. In case you're wondering, I did make her say that you all keep me hip and cool, so that was not her, that was me. Please join me in a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this space. Spirit of light and truth, Spirit of peace and love, I ask you to come powerfully upon every person in this room, that we may have open hearts, open minds, and open hands to receive whatever it is you have for us here and throughout this whole Lenten season. Mama Mary, I entrust this time to you and ask that you would keep each person here safe in your holy mantle. Protect us from all the attacks of the enemy. And guide us closer to the heart of your Son. We ask all of this in the most holy name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here as you were forced to be. I appreciate it. As I was praying and preparing for this talk, there's a lot of different things I could share about my story. But I came across a psalm that really struck me. And one verse of that psalm says, "But I trust in your mercy. Grant my heart joy in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me." And really that last bit, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me." Because when I look back on my life, through all the ups and the downs, I do see a lot of bounty. And that's what I want to share with you today, some of that bounty. So stroll with me, if you will, down memory lane. My story begins when I was born. Thank you for that. My sister actually told me I had to include this picture as proof that I did not come out of the womb wearing a habit. So, no, I grew up very normally, actually. In a what I consider a very normal Catholic family. You know, we lived close to our small town church. Missing Mass was never an option. My three older brothers and younger sister and I all went to Catholic school from preschool all the way through 12th grade. And I could tell you a lot of stories about that. Particularly since some of you know a few of my siblings from having been taught by them. Yeah. Mr. D, what are you doing up there? I told him it's okay that I use this picture because neither me nor him nor my younger sister look good in it. So we're all in the same boat here. But I have a very limited time, so I want to focus in on one chunk of the story, a chunk that hopefully you all can relate to, and that is high school, the glory days, right? Best 4 years of your life, some would say. For me in high school, life was a stage, and I was a very gifted actress. Look at that girl. Oh, yeah. That was freshman year, fall play. I'm telling you, this girl could play any role you throw at her. Mean cheerleader, I sang Material Girls in that musical. You know, put me with friends, and I became the funny girl. Always ready to entertain, willing to make a fool, make people laugh. Put me on the starting line, and I became the amazing runner. Able to compete with anyone. Side note, the girl in blue in this picture, coming into this race, was her senior year, and she was a 3-time defending state champ in cross country. And she graduated a 3-time defending state champ in cross country. So I'll let you guess what happened here. Put me in the classroom, and I was the straight-A student. I knew all the right answers. Was ready to impress all the teachers. That's my senior picture, by the way. I could go on. I could go on and on. Any role, I was ready for it. Because life is a stage. And the truth is, I am athletic. I am pretty smart. And depending which of my students you ask, I can even be funny at times. And there's nothing inherently wrong with those things. Funny, smart. But for high school me, the biggest problem was my motivator. And that was fear. I was so afraid of being seen as uncool or unpopular. I'd crack jokes, even at the expense of my best friends. I was so afraid of losing or being forgotten that I would race and race until I was convinced they wouldn't forget my name. And I was so afraid of being wrong that I'd stress about every assignment and make my teachers check all of my answers before I would even turn in my homework. Unfortunately, fear is what motivated my faith, too. I kept my nose clean, stayed away from trouble because I was afraid of getting in trouble. My mom worked at the school. She would know I was in trouble before I even did. I did all the Catholic stuff to look holy because I was terrified to go to hell. I played every role and I wore every mask. And I got really good at pretending to be the me that I thought others wanted to see. And the sad thing is, it totally worked. It totally worked. I made it through all 4 years of high school, no problem. Without really anyone questioning any of those characters I played. Well, except my best friend, but that's a story for another time. But I'm here to tell you today from experience that the acting gets old. And for me, that started right away freshman year of college. Every role I had so beautifully played for the last 4 years became so much harder. How do you entertain people you just met? How do you beat girls who were also state champions in high school? How do you finish boatloads of homework when you have no idea what's going on in class? And how do you justify all the rules of the Catholic faith when the people around you either ignore them or flat out think they're stupid? The struggle to maintain all of those masks, to show up day after day and play the part, was lonely and honestly exhausting. And it became too much, even for a seasoned actress like myself. Things started to slip, a little here, a little there. I was running times slower than high school. I lost my 4.0 GPA in my first semester of college. I spent a lot of Friday nights watching movies alone in my dorm room. Until sophomore year, when I caved to the peer pressure and I fell into serious sin. Now, I could have acknowledged that as a human mistake, you know, something that we all make and move on from there. But instead, what I saw was confirmation of my deepest fear. The fear that I was not good. That not only was I on a stage acting, but any semblance of goodness was actually just a lie. And my world turned into a spiral. And by junior year, I found myself trapped in a cycle of serious sin. It was like a roller coaster you can't get off. Really fun at the beginning, and then really annoying and scary at the end. And so there I was in a place I thought I'd never be. I went to Catholic school. I knew all the right answers. How did I get here? Pause for a moment. I bet some of you are thinking, shoot, this girl must have been a mess. Like a walking train wreck on campus, right? But you would be wrong. To the world, I was actually doing very well. I had pretty much anything you could ask for. At this point, my running career had really taken off. I was being recognized for my academics, and I had plenty of friends around me. But still, every day inside, I walked around in fear. The fear that the true me would be discovered and everyone would know that I was nothing but a fraud. And that fear was so strong that it kept me away from Jesus. Maybe you can relate. I still went to Mass to keep up the appearance, right? I had a role to play. But I avoided the sacraments for longer than I ever had before in my life. And it was in that place that a good friend of mine invited me on a retreat. And you might be thinking, why on earth would someone who is avoiding Jesus ever agree to go on a retreat? Well, I will tell you why. It was my one last desperate attempt to prove my own goodness. So I agreed to go. And the retreat was fun, and it was good to get away, and I met some new people. But that night in adoration, you know, in the quiet of that room, I was mad. I was angry with God for what I'd been through, for that never-ending roller coaster. And I let him have it. And it was ugly. I still have the journals to prove it. You remember that psalm that I started with at the beginning of this talk? This is actually how it starts. How long, Lord, will you utterly forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I carry sorrow in my soul, grief in my heart, day after day? And that's how I felt. And I let him know. And in that time of adoration, after I let it all out, I finally became convinced that I actually couldn't do this on my own. I was broken and I was tired. And I needed help. So I put that Catholic education to good use and I went to confession. For the first time in a long time. And I did. I walked away feeling relieved. Someone else knew my secret. And I was able to receive the Eucharist again that weekend. And I was determined. I was going to turn things around. I made a long list of the things that had to change. When I got home, I knew that I couldn't live without the Eucharist anymore, and I was ready. Let me tell you, I left that retreat, and I went home, and almost immediately fell into that same cycle of serious sin. So I went to confession again, and I received Jesus again. And this time, the same thing happened again. Week by week, this continued. Sin, confession, communion. Sin, confession, communion. It looked like nothing was changing, and I felt like nothing was actually happening. And the truth is, that's exactly what Satan wants us to think. That you go in that box and you say the same thing every week, and nothing even happens. But standing here in front of you, looking back on that time, I know that that is not true. Because while that cycle of sin wasn't broken, God's grace was working in my heart. He opened me to his love through vulnerability, through accountability, through authentic friendship that there's no way I could have received without his help. After 5 months of that cycle of weekly confession, I found myself again in a period of adoration, a lot like what we have here at Restore. Music playing, spotlights on Jesus. And suddenly it all became heavy again. Like it actually felt like my sin and my fear and my shame was a weight that was pressing me down. So much so that I couldn't even look up at Jesus in the monstrance. I couldn't do it. But I still felt a little nudge in my heart. It was like a whisper begging me just to look up. And so finally I did. I raised my head. And as I did, the chorus of the song, "Good, Good Father," rang out. Face to face with Jesus, I heard the words, "You're a good, good father. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am." And it was like I heard God saying to my heart, "I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it." There. Athletic, funny, smart. Those might all describe me, but that is not who I am. I am his. I am loved. In Romans 8:15, we read, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father." Jesus had been covering me with his spirit for months, preparing me to receive and live in that adoption, in my identity as the beloved daughter of my heavenly Father. And I could stop right there. I could let you all think I became a nun the next day and we all lived happily ever after. The end. But I don't want to leave this story unfinished, this part at least. Because it took 2.5 more years of weekly confession with a few more very low lows and a lot more vulnerability and some pretty radical changes in my life to be done with that particular cycle of sin. But by God's grace, I stand before you now, 8 years free from that sin. And I still go to confession weekly because I still let fear dictate my actions at times. But I trust in his mercy, and my heart has found such joy in his salvation. So I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. And I know that he desires to do the same for each of you. So this Lent, if you walk away with anything, I want you to believe in the power of confession, that the grace of that sacrament is real, whether you feel it or not. And it's a grace that helps us to fight the very sins that we confess. What would it take for you to make confession a more frequent part of your life, this Lent and beyond? I mentioned fear as the motivator. I really hope that's not the place most of you are in, because it stinks. But the truth is, fear affects all of us. For some, it motivates achievement. For others, it causes a complete withdrawal. How does fear affect your actions? In all those many masks, sometimes we wear masks or play a role to protect ourselves or to hide what's underneath. That causes us to become actors in our own lives. So what would it be like for you to live in the spirit of adoption this Lent? Know that I'm praying for each of you. Praying that this Lent might be a blessed step for each of us as we continue our journey with Jesus. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.